This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
5 minutes after the hour, it's Monday, October 11th. Good morning and welcome back to another hour of Morning Air on the memorial of Pope St. John the 23rd and Columbus Day, a federal holiday here in the United States and a big feast in most of the Americas. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast across our great nation here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Now, I want to remind you that Mondays is the traditional day in which we honor the souls in purgatory, in which we pray for our loved ones and our friends. Once again, I also want to remind you that we're less than 2 months away from the first Sunday of Advent on November 28th. Can you believe it? Christmas is going to be here before you know it. Now, this Advent season, let's boldly proclaim Christ in our neighborhoods. After all, Jesus is the reason for the season. Relevant Radio wants to give you and your family a beautiful hand-painted nativity set for your lawn outside your home. You can sign up at relevantradio.com/nativity to win one of only 200 nativity sets valued at just a little over $500. Let's make this Christmas a Christmas to remember by making room for Christ, not only inside of our hearts, but also outside our homes, out in our backyards or our lawns. Now, you only have a few days left. This promotion goes until midnight Central Time on October 15th. So please, if you're thinking about it, do it this morning. Do it now. Register at relevantradio.com/nativity. Hey, you might be just one of the winners, so sign up. Now, I want to bring in Glenn Leverance. Glenn, some news for folks that missed it over the weekend, late Friday. Federal appeals court ruled that the Texas abortion ban can go back into effect and that we can continue to save babies from abortion once again in the state of Texas.
Yeah, John, this law first went into effect in early September, saving roughly 100, 150 babies a day, and that adds up, and that's each life, of course, very precious. It's kind of a back-and-forth situation there. Wednesday, there was a stay put on the law, and then it was back into effect late Friday, and so that's good news, and it will remain in effect until the response from the Justice Department due tomorrow at some point that could affect it again. This is a case kind of like the Dobbs case out of Mississippi that could find its way to the Supreme Court. But for now, once again, once a baby's heartbeat is detected, usually around 6 weeks or even a little bit before that in pregnancy, it's not legal to have an abortion in Texas, John.
And just a reminder to keep praying the Rosary for Life here in the month of October with Father Rocky every night at 7 p.m. Nancy Pelosi is in the news once again, Glenn.
She met with Pope Francis over the weekend in Rome, calling the meeting a spiritual, personal, and official honor. Her private audience came Saturday following a speech by the Holy Father who called on lawmakers worldwide to put politics aside and meet the challenge of climate change. That speech comes ahead of the UN Climate Change Conference that'll be in Scotland later this month. And so folks watching very closely when the Holy Father meets with our American political leaders.
Absolutely. Turning to something a little lighter, the Major League Baseball playoffs continued this weekend. Lots of action last night. I wasn't able to stay up to see the end of it, but it was quite exciting in Chicago. The White Sox come from behind to beat the Houston Astros 12-6 in a do-or-die Game 3 in the American League Division Series. Yasmani Grandal and Lauri Garcia went deep for the White Sox, as heard on Major League Baseball Network.
Fastball, slider, curveball mostly. Lauri Garcia sends one to deep center field, and the White Sox have taken the lead in Game 3.
Glenn, the fans in Chicago were going nuts. They had waited 13 years for a home playoff game.
Oh, man, that crowd looked just crazy all game long, and they were satisfied with that big 12-6 win. So the Sox are still alive, and that struggle is real, John, to stay up during playoff season here for us morning announcers. But a big day today, too. All four series are in action, and so Chicago needs to win again to stay alive as they take on the Astros this afternoon. Also, 13 innings. Red Sox beating Tampa Bay. They're up 2-1 in their series. In the National League, both series knotted at one game apiece. Brewers and Braves go at it, and the Giants and the Dodgers as well.
Lots of excitement, no question about it. In fact, the Red Sox with yet another walk-off game winner to beat the Rays. So that series is tied at 1-1. We'll keep an eye on everything that's going on, and there's a lot going on, Glenn.
All right, very good, John. We'll keep you updated.
Thanks, as always. We start each hour giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, when we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life, and patroness of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit whenever we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, coming up momentarily, Reverend Know-It-All, our very own Father Richard Simon, the host of Father Simon Says here on Relevant Radio, is going to be with us to talk about the controversy surrounding Columbus Day, and he'll answer the question, who was the real Christopher Columbus? A little bit later in the show, at the bottom of the hour, Emily Jaminet, the executive director of the Sacred Heart Enthronement Network, will be with us to share some holy habits for praying the rosary here in October. We'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. All that and much more coming up here this hour on Morning Air. As we do every hour, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 2 Corinthians 5:7. The Apostle St. Paul wrote, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." This is a short but very powerful verse on the importance of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God or to attain eternal life. Walking by faith means to follow the Lord, to keep going even if you don't know where you're going. St. Paul also reminds us that we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught us that if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Nothing is impossible with God. And so we walk by faith and not by sight. Pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now, today in the United States, we celebrate Columbus Day. It's a federal holiday, but it's not celebrated everywhere across of our nation. In fact, every year there are more and more cities and states that avoid this celebration, accusing the discoverer of America of genocide and instead celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day. Just last Friday, President Joe Biden issued the first ever presidential proclamation of Indigenous Peoples Day, lending the most significant boost yet to efforts to refocus this federal national holiday celebrating Christopher Columbus towards an appreciation of all Native peoples. The last few years, statues of Christopher Columbus have been protested. They've been demolished. They've even been taken down right here in Chicago and in a number of cities across America. Although many don't know it, several fathers of the First Vatican Council presented the name of Columbus to be considered for holiness because of his character and virtue. Our very own Father Richard Simon is with us to discuss Columbus Day and tell us about the real Christopher Columbus. Father Simon, known as Reverend Know-It-All, is the former pastor of St. Lambert's Parish in Skokie, Illinois. He's also the host of Father Simon Says that airs here on Relevant Radio every day at 1 p.m. Central. Father Simon's expertise is apologetics with the Bible on the coffee table. He also has a concentration on early Christians, and he's really big on history. Good morning, Father Simon. Welcome back to Morning Air.
Good morning,
to hear you.
John. Yes, I'm big on history because I've lived through so much of it at my age. But what can I do for you, John? How are you doing?
Well,
exciting, the baseball thing. I know you're You started. Didn't you start in radio as a sports guy?
Correct. So, absolutely. Radio
yeah.
and TV.
Oh, yeah. I heard the enthusiasm in your voice talking about the Sox.
And in full disclosure, well, I'm a Cub fan.
Topic.
I'm a Cub fan, Father. But you know what? Hey,
okay.
We're pulling for Chicago. So, and we're also helping that all the other cities where we have relevant radio fans that they all do well. So I we try to spread it all out and just have a little fun, especially with Glenn.
Spread the love
for sure. Big controversy.
What can I do for you?
Big controversy, and I know you love history. Anytime we have some of these national holidays, we'd love to chime in with you and get your take. First of all, why so much controversy about Christopher Columbus? Why are so many cities not wanting to celebrate his day, and instead they're celebrating a Indigenous People's Day?
Well, it's a real difficult topic because I think one of our problems. As in general, we want to see good guys and bad guys, and there are no such things. There's only sinners saved by grace. And people want the guys with the white hats to win and the guys with the black hats to lose. And of course, that's probably not politically correct now either. But people aren't like that, and Columbus wasn't like that. You know, Christopher Columbus was very much a man of his times, and, he was, for those people who want to say he was a saint, well, his second wife, he never bothered to marry her. She was a common law wife, Beatriz Enriquez de Araña, or was it Arana? I don't know if it was Arana or Araña, but, he had two children, one by his legitimate wife who died, and then he took up with this Beatriz, and, I think Fernando was her son, but she raised both of them. And when he was off exploring the world, and the big thing about Columbus, he lived in a world where slavery was common, and the Christians had been fighting the Moors in Spain for centuries, and the Moors enslaved the Christians, and the Christians enslaved the Moors, unless of course they converted. If someone converted to Christianity, they could not be enslaved. And so Christopher Columbus went to the New World for gold, God, and glory, as the saying goes. God and gold were both motives, because in that era it was an honorable thing to do well, whereas we are a little different about, as Christians, now in our relationship to wealth. And Christopher Columbus was losing, as I understand it, the situation in Hispaniola, which is now Haiti and Santo Domingo, it was spiraling out of control. And the Spaniards who accompanied him on his second voyage, they hated him because he wasn't a Spaniard. He was an Italian. He was a foreigner. And they didn't think that their lives should be run. They were, Spanish nobility, and they didn't think their lives should be run by this foreigner. And Columbus had to make money. He had to find gold to validate himself and the expense of his journey. He had to prove to the king and queen of Spain, Fernando Isabella, that this had all been worth it. And he became probably increasingly cruel. If indigenous people in Hispaniola were increasingly enslaved by the Spaniards and by Columbus. So that's why everyone's upset. But on the other hand, he wasn't really responsible for what people are calling the indigenous Holocaust. This is something people don't realize. It is quite possible that in the Americas, there were as many people as there were in Europe. But within a century, 90% of them had died, mostly probably because of smallpox. And that was going to happen. At one point, the old world and the new world were going to meet, and the new world had no defense against these diseases. And so Columbus isn't responsible in that sense for this great Holocaust. People blame him. But he came here for the best of motives by his own mind. And as he got older, he became increasingly devout. He really turned to faith. So there may be cause for his canonization, but because there was conversion in his life, but I don't know that his life was what most people want to make it out to be. He was not the best of men. He was not the worst, but he was certainly quite a navigator. So that's in a nutshell.
Well, Father Simon, just the very fact that the names of the three ships were La Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, St. Mary, that says something about his mind.
Well, it says something about the times. Ships were always named for saints. The Santa Maria was also called La Gallega, which means the girl from Galicia. Ships were always feminine, and we still think of ships, oddly enough, in English as feminine, but in Spanish they were generally feminine. I think the Niña was actually called the Santa Clara, and we don't know what the Pinta was called, what the real name, but the Gallega, the Niña, and the Pinta were nicknames for the ships. They were the Santa Maria, the Santa Clara, and then Santa somebody or other. So, yeah, they were devout, and they prayed. I mean, they ended the day with the Salve Regina, and they were devout by their own lights. Columbus, I'm sure, didn't marry his second wife, shall we call her, for perfectly legitimate reasons. And we don't know what his moral life was like in that regard. But by his lights, I think that's the problem with the cancel culture, is that we judge people by our own lights, and we don't realize history's going to judge us by their lights. And I have a feeling this age is going to be looked on as barbaric. Wars and abortions and all these things. And, you know, we think that we're the judges of history, and we're not. And all the, you know, this is saying he who does not remember history is doomed to repeat it. And I so worry that by this demonization of heroes of the past, people like Columbus, we're committing as big an error as by their deification. They were not gods. They were not devils. They were just people. And they lived by their lights. And our problem is we're living by our lights. And our lights in this society are not so good. So, you know, I think this whole cancel culture is nuts. This was an inevitability of history, that Europe and America would meet, and America would be the loser in that battle. It's kind of a sad thing.
Well, Father Simon, were you surprised on Friday when our president, the president of the United States, Joe Biden, made the first ever, it's never been done before by a president, a proclamation of Indigenous Peoples Day? And here we are on Columbus Day. A lot of colleges, universities across the country are not celebrating Columbus Day. They're celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day. A lot of public schools are not having Columbus Day celebrations. What's your take?
Virtue signaling. I don't know if everybody's familiar with that term. You know, it's kind of, you know, I know a lot of Indigenous people, and as you probably know, Mexicans are half Indigenous.
I have some Indigenous blood in me.
Yes, of course.
Absolutely.
Who doesn't? You know, some of my best friends are Indigenous. But I think that if it was a sincere recognition, you know, I would much rather that the president had initiated a real program of reforms and education in the for Indigenous people on the Indian nations, the reservations. But what we're doing is virtue signaling. We're trying to tell everyone how pious we are because, well, we think the right way, and that's stupid. You know, don't tell me what you think or feel. I can see what you really believe by what you're doing. And I think the plight of Native Americans, Indigenous people in the United States is a disaster. It's much better in Mexico, I think, because Mexico is a nation of Indigenous people. Not to say there isn't poverty, but you look at some of I've been to some Indian reservations, and it is just tragic what we're still doing to Indigenous people. So forget the day. Do something useful to make their lives fuller and more productive. And I think a lot of Indigenous people really are beginning to lift themselves up. I've known some Native Americans who are very impressive people, but they are behind an eight ball, and it isn't the fault of Columbus. It's our fault, you know, to look at the past and say, oh, how, what a shame, forget that.
Father Simon, final minute, just a quick word on what us as Catholics, and especially Italian Catholics, what should we do when faced with a situation like Christopher Columbus being attacked, or for that matter, any other saint?
When Christopher Columbus is, yeah, I've heard someone call today Tick Off the Italians Day. No, that if I was an Italian, I would say, Italy changed the world repeatedly. What's your nation ever done? You know, the Roman Empire, the Renaissance, and the globalization, the opening up of the world, all came from Italians. What's your ethnicity ever done? You know, history is history, and you can't change the past. You can only learn from it. And with the cancel culture and yelling at Italians for having Columbus, it's not, that's trying to change history. You can't do it. You only can learn from it. So Italians out there, they're an amazing group of people. So, and got really great food. So what's not to love?
Well, happy Columbus Day, Father Simon. You are the historian in-house here, so we always check in with you for these big feasts. Thank you.
Well, you've heard the saying, history, read it and weep. All right, well, God bless. Go. Good to talk to you, John.
Thank you. Thank you, Father Simon. Father Simon, Reverend Know-It-All, the host of Father Simon Says, that you can listen to right here on Relevant Radio every single day at 1 p.m. Central. Now, we need to take a break. When Morning Air continues, we'll share some holy habits for praying the rosary here in the month of the rosary with Emily Jaminet, the executive director of the Sacred Heart Enthronement Network. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side as Morning Air continues.
To the conversation. Call us now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
32 minutes after the hour, welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks for joining us. Coming up a little bit later this half hour, we'll have yet another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Our number, once again, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, as a busy Catholic family, it's easy to lose focus on what matters most. Kids are back in school, and sports and activities can totally fill up our evenings. And yet, what matters most is not just talking about our Catholic faith, but actually practicing it. In fact, our Lord Jesus reminds us to be not afraid. And by praying the rosary, we gain new graces. The rosary, our Blessed Mother leads us to her Son. The question is, how do we set up some holy habits? Holy habits, especially here in this month of October. Now joining us is author and speaker Emily Jaminet to talk about the rosary reset with some holy habits for praying the rosary here in the month of the rosary. Emily Jaminet is the executive director of the Sacred Heart Enthronement Network, a mother of seven, and a regular contributor to Morning Air. Good morning, Emily. Welcome back to Morning Air. It's great to be with you once again.
Good morning, John. I'm very excited about this idea of holy habits. And, you know, as we know that it's important for the month of October as we focus on the rosary and really praying for the end of abortion and for the sanctity of all human life. But I like to say the month of October and beyond, because these holy habits, you know, resetting our life, refocusing on what matters most, lays that foundation for the rest of our life. So, you know, I think first, one of my favorite quotes, St. John Paul II says, the future begins today. And for many of us, Monday morning is a great time to hit that reset button, to refocus on, you know, what are you missing? What matters most? And prayer is essential. No matter how busy you are, prayer is essential.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting that here in this month of October, as the days tick away, we get closer to Halloween, All Hallows Eve, and All Saints Day and All Souls Day. People are thinking more about their Halloween decorations, ghosts, skeleton. I saw this huge skeleton. I mean, the thing was like 20 feet high. My son and I were laughing as we drove by the other day. Goblins everywhere. In fact, some of these exhibits can actually scare even adults, let alone kids. And it seems like a lot of folks are forgetting the focus, the spiritual perspective here in the month of October.
You're right. I think they're focusing on the supernatural, but yet we need to focus on the truth of our faith, the gift of our Catholic faith. And, you know, as parents go about preparing for Halloween, you know, there needs to be a spiritual reset button. So our goal is not to scare children, but to show them that the Lord loves them and that the spiritual world is real, but Jesus died on the cross and opened the gates of heaven for all of us.
You know, this month can motivate some people that maybe they've gotten away from the rosary for a long time, for whatever reason, it just got out of their, you know, habits. It's just, if you don't make it a habit, it's easy to get out of it. But I know I've heard from people that because it's the month of the rosary, it is the month of life, that they've started to once again pray the rosary. In fact, you see even more people staying, for example, after Mass to pray the rosary after daily Mass during the week. And I think that's a positive.
I think you're right. I think it is a positive, and it gives us an opportunity as Catholics to share this amazing gift of the Holy Rosary with others. Now, as you mentioned, John, you know, my children range 22 to 5, so I get to spend a lot of time with women, not only in the ministry work I do, leading retreats, but also on the side of the soccer field or sitting, you know, with the moms in the volleyball, you know, watching the volleyball games. And I realized that this conversation, this opportunity to invite them back to this meditative prayer is really fundamental. It's essential because the rosary is so important because it is rooted in the gospel. But before we talk about the rosary and the October reset of our prayer life, we need to talk about the importance of praying with our hearts, not just making it a matter of what takes place in our lips, but really opening our hearts to the Lord.
No question about it. It's all over Scripture. Where your heart is, there is your treasure. In the Old Testament, our Lord wants us to change our hearts. He wants all of our hearts. He just doesn't want us going through the motions.
You're right. You know, the other day, my daughter and I were driving down the road, my youngest, and she said that what the sisters had taught her when she went to school was that when you begin to pray, it's like calling Jesus on a cell phone. So she used her little hand, and we called Jesus that morning in the car. And it really touched my heart to remind me that Jesus wants that open dialogue. He wants to hear from our heart, and praying with our heart incorporated in our traditional prayers like the rosary are life-changing and even a window to the soul of those expressing their prayer intentions.
I love that. Calling Jesus on a cell phone, perhaps it's really the Blessed Mother's cell phone.
It is. The Blessed call the Blessed Mother. And, you know, what's interesting is how when we talk to somebody else, how we really, you can share the details of our life. Same is true in our prayer life, that the Lord cares about all of our details, and who cares more but Jesus' mother, because she takes those intentions and represents them back to our Lord in such a beautiful way. But, you know, as I mentioned, we're back to the swing of schedules and sports and activities, but without creating patterns and commitment to prayer, oftentimes it just doesn't happen, does it?
Absolutely. Can you talk about what that looks like? How do you pray at the same time, for example, every day, perhaps every evening, Sunday evenings, depending on our own specific family situation?
Well, I think first, John, let's wipe away that spirit of guilt, right? Sometimes as Catholic families, we can begin feeling so guilty about what we didn't do, what we haven't done in the past, that we forget to look forward or embrace the grace given to you on this day. So first, I would say that. Second, I would say set up a pattern of prayer. You know what? We all have our smartphones, our calendars. Put it in your calendar. So my family knows at around 7 o'clock, a lot of times it's sunset time, we will gather in prayer. And during the week, it's a decade of the rosary, intentions for all the children. We pray to the saints. We pray to St. Michael. We pray to our guardian angels. And we pray to the most sacred heart of Jesus. So we have a family pattern of prayer. And it's really a great opportunity to also discuss the important things going on in our family. Family conversation from the prayer is usually a real highlight of my day.
We're joined by Emily Jaminet, Catholic author and speaker, and also the executive director of the Sacred Heart Enthronement Network, and a mom of seven kids from 22 to 5 years old. So she knows firsthand what it's like to bring prayer into the home. Emily, can you talk about why praying the rosary as a family is such a beautiful thing?
It is such a beautiful thing, and we know throughout history many great saints have shared the impact, the power of the Holy Rosary. I think of St. Louis de Montfort said, this rosary is one of the greatest secrets that have come down from heaven. And the rosary is also scriptural. So, you know, as we pass these great legacies of faith, these holy habits to our children, we have to remember we're passing on the love for Christ and understanding the scriptures come alive. Oftentimes, I love to open up Luke 1 and show the children where the Hail Mary came from, that this wasn't just made up by their parents or even my grandparents, but this is rooted in Holy Scripture. But if you're feeling a little discouraged by the Holy Rosary and the state of your children and they're not praying, remember, it's all about those baby steps. It's all about teaching them to pray.
Absolutely. And you mentioned that sometimes during the week you don't pray maybe the whole rosary, but only part of it. So it doesn't mean that you have to pray the entire rosary if for whatever reason you can't. You can take those baby steps and pray a decade or two, especially if you have little ones.
You're right. Chunking it out is one of the things that we also do in the family. So when we load up in the car, I might say, we're going to start the rosary. And then they know that we might finish it at the end of the day or during the week. I'll start the rosary. The children will gather. We'll go through our prayers. And then typically I'll stay and finish the rosary with my husband and the younger children if the older children have a lot of homework. But what we do is commit to the Sunday night rosary. And when I say commit, you do your best to follow through. I love that Father Rocky prays the rosary, you know, at 7 o'clock in the evenings. But, you know, making those prayer commitments can make such a difference, and you'll find the grace is there, the new peace, the joy, the graces to get through each and every day of our life.
Emily, just last Saturday night, I was driving home from visiting my mom at the nursing home in downtown Chicago, and on the way back, I was able to pray along with Father Rocky, the Family Rosary Across America. What a beautiful thing. It touched my heart to hear so many callers with so many petitions, and we're all united in prayer, and especially here in this month of October, trying to pray a million rosaries for life, for an end to illegal abortion. I just felt blessed to have Father Rocky and my colleague Sarah praying the rosary over the weekend. And of course, it happens every single day of the week here. So, and if you can't do it live, you can always go to the app and pray along. You know, Father Rocky always jokes that there's three different versions of the rosary. So you take your pick. So there's a lot of great tools that are available at our disposal.
Absolutely. You know, we need to use technology, this wonderful tool, for the good. And you just shared such a powerful way to do that. And I have my Relevant Radio app on my phone, and I have all those prayers accessible at any moment when I need a little encouragement to go through that audio prayers.
Beautiful. Well, we're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Emily Jaminet. We're talking about holy habits for the month of the Rosary here on Morning Air. There's much more to come after this.
Please pray for this. Pray that life is upheld from the moment of life through natural death, from the moment of conception through natural death.
Did you know that a baby can smile as early as 12 weeks from conception? Hi, this is Patrick Madrid. Please join Relevant Radio in our hourly Memorare campaign for an end to abortion and the protection of all human life from conception to natural death. Our next goal is 400 million Memorares. Add your Memorare for life at relevantradio.com. Let's pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester. After the hour, welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. We're talking about holy habits for the month of the Rosary with Emily Geminit, Catholic author and speaker. I want to invite our listeners, 888-914-9149. We have open lines, 888-914-9149. If you want to share how you pray the Rosary as a family, perhaps what the Rosary means for you, what prayer means for you, the power of prayer. If you have a comment or question for Emily, give us a call. Emily, welcome back.
Well, thank you, John. You know, during the break, I was thinking about the impact that the impact that I received from my grandparents praying the Rosary. Even though they lived 2.5 hours away, when we would come and visit, we would always gather for the Rosary. And looking back, it felt like I actually thought that was their fun. That was their pastime fun. But many, many years later, I found out that during their retirement years, both of them made the commitment to say the entire Rosary, so the joyful mysteries, the sorrowful mysteries, the glorious mysteries, as a couple. And when my grandmother did not feel that she could finish the entire Rosary, I found out later my grandfather would then finish her decades, so he would often say 5 rosaries a day.
Wow.
And what a witness that was for me, a huge example as I'm attempting to pass on the faith then passed on from my parents to me, and, you know, being that witness to my children as well.
We've been talking about holy habits here in this segment with Emily Geminit. And, we talked about praying with the heart, creating different patterns of prayer. I'd like to talk about making a visit to a church, perhaps an adoration chapel, or even a grotto or shrine. How does this put us in the right mood, in the right environment to pray?
Well, first, I think there's always a value on going on pilgrimage, you know, getting in your car, getting on a plane, going for a walk, resetting your spiritual life by going somewhere that can inspire you. So, for example, every Saturday morning, I often go to the same particular church for my daughter to play volleyball. And, you know, there's about a 30-40 minute period where they're warming up and in the gym. And that time I have discovered is a beautiful time of prayer. I take my other daughter, we go to the church, we pray before the Blessed Sacrament. And then lo and behold, right around the corner is this gorgeous grotto built in 1961, lovely outdoor prayer space. And each week we'll go, we'll pray, and really even offer up a decade of the Rosary with my kindergartner. Now, it turns out the other day I said, you know, we were waiting out front for the game to begin, and my little girl kept saying, "Aren't we going to go see Mary? Aren't we going to go see Mary?" And I thought she was talking about her sister, but she was actually talking about the Mother of God. So isn't that a great example of something so small, I didn't realize was actually making a huge impact on her spiritually.
I love that story, and it so much reminds me of the experiences that I've had with my son over the years. We used to, before the pandemic, before they closed the adoration chapels, we used to always go and spend a couple of minutes in front of the Blessed Sacrament before we would head to one of his travel baseball games. It became part of our ritual. We would go and pray and ask for the Lord's help and just for protection and to have fun and do your best. And so we always did that. And yesterday, my son, who I just wrapped up yesterday his eighth grade soccer season. We stopped at a grotto of Our Lady of Lourdes at Notre Dame College Prep here in Chicago. And I tell you, it was such a moving experience to pray, to see that statue of Our Lady of Lourdes, our Blessed Mother, in that grotto that looks so much like the same grotto that I visited in Lourdes years ago, and to ask for Our Lady's protection. I gave him a rosary to put in his pocket, and he zipped it up in his soccer shorts. The kid had the greatest game in his life. He stood up on his head as a goalie and had the most unbelievable game. No doubt our Blessed Mother was looking out for him.
You know, what a great example of something that we can combine, you know, teaching our children that in all things the Lord wants to be present with them and bestowing those graces, and that our works can be really even a prayer, turning it into a prayer. So I see that connection with my own children beginning their sporting events, beginning their day with that morning offering, offering up our joys, works, and sorrows to our Lord. And October, a great time to hit the holy reset button.
Absolutely. And I think it's also a reminder that we are in a great spiritual battle. You can see it everywhere we go. So prayer is needed now more than ever.
You're right. You know, one of the scriptures that I'm really clinging to, John, is John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God and have faith also in me. And those are the words Jesus shared right before the Last Supper discourse. And, you know, it's a reminder that he's comforting his apostles, he's comforting his disciples, and yet he was the one going to suffer. And this great spiritual battle we are in, there are times we get discouraged. But where do we go? We need to go deeper into prayer so that we can receive the peace of the Lord and even the joy of the gospel in the midst of our daily trials.
Well, when I think of the Holy Rosary, you gotta give credit to Saint Dominic, the founder of the Dominicans. Saint Dominic has shared with us throughout the centuries the 15 promises that he received by our Blessed Mother. Can you just share a few of those promises, the power of praying the Rosary according to Saint Dominic?
Yes, these promises are so powerful, and they're even a great conversation starter with family members and explaining why we do what we do. And, you know, first, I promise my special protection and the greatest grace to those who will recite the Holy Rosary. The Rosary shall be my powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, decrease sin, and defeat heresies. And I think, John, as we spoke earlier about really this infatuation with evil, even to the point of covering, you know, front lawns into graveyards, isn't this a great, powerful promise that, you know, the Lord will give us that armor against hell?
It's the prayer of the gospel. That's what we have to keep in mind. What are a couple of more of the promises of the Blessed Mother to Saint Dominic?
Sure. The soul who recommits itself to me by the recitation of the rosary shall not perish. Whoever shall recite the rosary devoutly, applying himself to the consideration of its sacred mysteries, shall never be conquered by misfortune. God will not chastise him in his justice. He shall not perish him by unprovided death. It is he who is just shall remain in the grace of God and become worthy of eternity. Whoever shall have this truth of the devotion of the Holy Rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the Church, and I shall obtain for you what you ask of me in the recitation of the Holy Rosary. What? And they go on, John. There's 15 of these holy promises that were given to St. Dominic.
And again, these promises are not magic. It's not a magic, formula. It's not anything that has any kind of magic to it. On the other hand, it's the power of the prayer of the gospel, because it is the gospel, the word of God. That's what we're really meditating on as we pray Hail Mary after Hail Mary, the Our Father, the glory be. The entire rosary is just saturated with sacred scripture.
It is. And, you know, that is our greatest gift that we can give our children, even in the busyness of life, to teach them how to meditate, how to pray, how to go outside of their own selves and to turn to the Lord. As so many are emptying themselves in this time of meditation, as Christians, we know this is our lifeline. This is our grace. This is our gift. And, you know, the rosary is really, all these promises are a summary of what it looks like to have a life on fire for our Lord, rooted in prayer, living out our Catholic identity.
Emily, in the minute that we have left, just a practical word of advice to be able to focus, you know, on the mysteries a little bit better.
Well, this past week I was leading a retreat for Catholic women, and a young mom was very discouraged over the state of their family prayer. And I just kept saying, trust in the Lord, you're laying a foundation. But without love, that rosary doesn't make sense. So let's recommit to praying with our hearts, to being patient with those in our family, and really unleashing the joy of the gospel, beginning with today.
And as you shared with us, and we honor St. John Paul II here in this month of October as well, the future begins today. So if you've been thinking about praying the rosary, today is the day. Emily, thank you so much with your holy habits for praying the rosary here in October. We appreciate it so much.
Well, thank you. And I went ahead and put a post up at emilyjaminet.com with these habits. And I've really enjoyed this time here this morning on Relevant Radio.
As always, it is a joy. Emily Jaminet, author and speaker, executive director of the Sacred Heart Enthronement Network. And now it's time for yet another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today called A Man of Influence. Franklin Roosevelt's closest advisor during much of his presidency was a man named Harry Hopkins. During World War II, when his influence with Roosevelt was at its peak, Hopkins held no official cabinet position. Moreover, Hopkins' closeness to Roosevelt caused many to regard him as a shadowy, sinister figure. As a result, he was a major political liability to the president. A political foe once asked Roosevelt, "Why do you keep Hopkins so close to you? You surely realize that people distrust him and resent his influence." Roosevelt replied, "Someday, you may well be sitting here where I am now as President of the United States. And when you are, you'll be looking at that door over there and knowing that practically everybody who walks through it wants something out of you. You'll learn what a lonely job this is, and you'll discover the need for somebody like Harry Hopkins, who asks for nothing except to serve you." Winston Churchill rated Hopkins as one of the half dozen most powerful men in the world in the early 1940s. And the sole source of Hopkins' power was his willingness to serve. 1 Peter 4:10, "As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace."
Thanks so much, Glenn. Outstanding as always. I want to remind you that you can always listen to all of Glenn's Story Corners or our Morning Air podcast or any segment that you might want to share with others. All you have to do is download it at relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app. If you have a story idea, send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, again, a reminder, honor our Blessed Mother. Honor Our Lady today. Pray the Rosary for Life this month with Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America. With all your prayers and petitions, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week on Relevant Radio, the Relevant Radio app, or on your smart TV. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverance, for producer in studio Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Berg, Mariano Gomez, the whole Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God loves you. We'll see you tomorrow. Pray the Rosary today.